After years of tinkering in her secret laboratory, Vivacious is back with a vengeance. Her first fully produced single, Ornacia, is out, a song that tells the tale of how the mysterious glowing noggin from outer space came to be. When Vivacious first wore Ornacia on top of her head on RuPaul's Drag Race, it entered the world of drag legend, but nobody expected it to become its own living entity.
Today, Vivacious joins us from her secret lair in New York City to kiki and to get cheeky about the best and worst Rue Girl songs ever, and the tightrope popular drag queens have to walk when airing their grievances on social media.
Plus, the UK cuts their new HIV infections by 20% in 1 year with the use of PrEP.
And the FDA says love is not an ingredient in food and never will be.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Hey, Vivacious, we need your help.
What are you doing right now? Vivacious, she's gone.
Yeah, girl, I'm watching porn.
Turn that porn off. I want to tell you about this new podcast.
It's called... Okay, let me turn it off. Okay, I'm you have my undivided attention now.
I love how you have a conversation with us and you watch porn at the same time. But let me tell you about Love and Luck Podcast. It's called Love and Luck. It's a new audio podcast drama. It's a queer love story set in Australia that's told via voicemails with a touch of magic. With a little tingling there, Fausto. Oh.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
It's made for people who like healthy relationships and happy endings. You know what I mean. The story is about two men who fall in love, learn that they have magic powers, and use those powers to support and protect the community.
The good guys win, no one dies, and queer people of all types are loved and valued. Check it out at loveandluckpodcast.com. It's magical. Well, it has a touch of magic.
Touch of magic.
Don't get, you know, too excited.
But it's an interesting concept because it's all done via voicemail. So one guy leaves a voicemail for the other and then he responds and it's back and forth, back and forth. But Vivacious, what kind of porn do you like to watch?
Anything that Tumblr gives me.
Oh. My new one is cottaging. I've been watching lots of stuff on Tumblr about cottaging.
Oh, those are hot, too. Mm-hmm. Cottaging is another word for glory hole.
Yeah, but it's also, too, it's just stuff that happens in restrooms, you know? So it doesn't have to be a glory hole. It can be under the stall. It can be, like, with the door
right.
locked.
Yes.
All those kinds of things. Yes. There's some hot ones out there.
What was the name of the advertiser? Loveandluckpodcast.com, yes. Folks. Go check it out.
Subscribe to them anywhere where you find podcasts.
Where fine podcasts are found.
Mm-hmm.
Ornacia came, Ornacia slayed, blew them by knees all away. Snatched the crown she should have owned. That walk walk over town, held the rain with flair, made them kiss hot dairy air. Yes, Miss Girl, you must agree, Ornacia went down in history. Ornacia. 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 Ornacia.
Hello.
Is this Vivacious, mother of Ornacia, came to talk on the podcast, Walk the Walk?
No, this is Lady Bunny's cocksucking twin sister, Ornacia.
How many cocks have you sucked today?
Girl, I try to make sure I do one every 4 minutes per hour. And I've been up since 10 o'clock. My face is stuffed, my face is glossy, and I don't even think I need lunch.
It's so nice for you to be able to imitate me, but I'm the real one.
I know, Gurgalicious. You've taught me so much over the years.
What did you learn from me? How to suck a dick with your pantyhose on?
I learned as he's coming, reach your hands down into his pants and take his wallet. Money.
Lady Bunny really taught you that, girl? Or did you came up with that stuff?
Don't touch the credit cards. They'll trace it back to you. They'll never ask for the cash back.
Oh, that is good.
That's a nice tip.
You know, we need to raise money for Cooking with Drag Queens, and I just might have to get on my knees and steal some credit cards.
Let's raise for Cooking with Drag Queens.
Onasia. She has a speaking disability, or is that just the remix in the song?
That sound is her taking dicks in her throat at every interval. Onasia.
Somebody's horny today.
Oh, bitch. Why y'all keep saying that to a person that's celibate? Leave me alone. I am never horny.
Well, you're excited because you have a new single out on iTunes.
Well, check this out. I had scheduled it to come out on the 9th, and that's the date that I put on it, because iTunes said we'll try to get it out by the 6th in terms of their green number, but then I put the 9th just to be sure, because they said that it needed to go through a few checks in terms of who they needed to speak to make sure that all the I's and T's were dot. Well,
the ITO.
Yes, the ITO.
The International Technology Consortium of Ornatias have to consult each other and glow their eyes, and they go, "You may proceed."
Well, about an hour ago, is this being recorded right now?
Yes.
Work! Okay, so that opening section is a fucking key. Okay, about an hour ago, I got a message from a fan all the way from, where was that queen? New Zealand. And she sent me a screenshot and told me that the track is already out in New Zealand, and she's the first one who bought it so far.
Oh, wow.
So it's available for pre-order in America, but in New Zealand, it's available for sale right now.
Yes.
That is fierce, honey. Sizzling hot.
That is motherfucking fierce. And she already bought hers and she thanked me for it. So I turned around and thanked her back properly for it, because it's the support of the wonderful fans purchasing that track. So I don't have to sing Crystal Waters.
Now, I heard a rumor that the producer of the track, you still owe them money for it.
You are a shady bitch.
How much money do you owe?
Well, because she has to pay herself.
Ah.
Get it?
That's why I called you a shady bitch. Hey.
It's no shade. You just want to get paid, right?
Don't be throwing no shade. You just want to get paid.
She just
want
to get paid.
That's right.
Yes. Just so you know, I created the track myself from scratch. I put in every single beat in there and build it from nothing, from a blank slate. And then when it was fully done, I'd actually written the words first. And those words were written probably about a year and a half ago. And I recorded them. And, you know, just for future people who want to be music producers, you really don't need to go into a studio if you're a drag queen. Your clothing acts as a reverb absorber in terms of extra sounds inside a room, and it'll make the best dampening sounds to make sure that you can record in a fully isolated studio.
Oh, because most drag queens have all their clothes surrounding the walls of their bedroom, so naturally you have a recording booth.
All those feather boas.
No, just the poor ones.
Oh, the rich ones have a storage locker.
No, not storage locker. Other rich ones have their drag has its own separate fucking room, honey. I'm sure Violet Chachki takes 3 cabs down the hall to get to hers. So does Latrice. Shangela.
We'll get to Violet Chachki in a minute. And her,
I don't even know why that name popped up in my head.
Social
so I know
media
you're not gonna
campaign.
Why you have to go there. So, yes, yeah. I created the track from scratch myself. So what happened was I for the last 3 years, I was supposed to have an album come out before Adore Delano had even released hers on season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And turns out a lot of the producers that I knew that were straight in the straight scene that I worked with for the last 20 something years are just all shady motherfuckers. And yes, you heard me first. I said it here. You're all shady.
Why are they shady? You reached
out to me, or I reached out to you, more than 88 of you. And the minute I told you that my words were copyrighted, aliens came and fisted your car while reading a Helen Keller script while you was watching Survivor, but the TV fell off the TV stand the drug dealer next door stole it from you while you were getting rim fisted on a sealy postopedic bed.
What the fuck are you talking about? What's going on? What do you mean your stuff's copyrighted?
Those are the amount of excuses that they came up with. Mm. Some fierce excuses. One DJ even took my words and repeated two words and dragged it out for 5 minutes and sent it back to me and said, your track is done.
Naysha.
There's like, five minutes. And I'm not even joking.
That sounds like you're sucking cocks right now.
Right, exactly. You know.
Do that again.
Whoever just made that sound sounds like a fiercer professional than me.
That's Mark.
Yeah. If I had a contest against who could do it better,
we need to talk or set up shops together.
Oh, I just had an ex-girlfriend come to town, and she was talking to me and my next door neighbor, like, because she feels as though she can't suck cock well. So we gave her advice.
That can't be a problem. I graduated from Yale with 4 degrees from Deep Throat, and so I teach a master class on the weekend, and that's how I make the rest of my money. It's a joke, people. It's a joke.
What is a good skill to suck it? I guess the first step is find a dick you want to suck really hard, right? I mean, because there are dicks of all kinds, and if you're not turned on by the dick, it's not going to go well.
Well, I once met this cute little Jewish boy. He used to take me to the clubs every week, and everything about him was perfect, but he had the most ugliest dick I've ever seen. It looked like it auditioned for Interview with a Blender, and the blender won. And there was no way in Ornacia's fiercest glory hole fantasy of 15 men slapping her in the face would I ever consider going down on him, because I just kept having nightmares of how grotesque it looked.
And so you gave him like a hug and called it a night, or what? You still sucked it anyways.
No, bitch, I'm not that desperate. So what I did was I spent 4 years and tutored him in chemistry and biology so he could become a self-centered doctor. Mm. And I do mean self-centered. She now thinks she's the cat's meow and she don't know how to call nobody.
Oh, she doesn't have time for you.
Oh, honey, she threw me like a prostitute out on the West Side Highway off a car moving 60 miles an hour.
But you've been on RuPaul's Drag Race. He should be like kissing your ass the way the world kisses Violet Chachki's ass.
He's straight. That don't mean shit to him. Let me tell you something. I work in a lot of straight clubs. The reason why 90% of the time you see no advertisement on my page for what parties I'm working, these are clubs where they don't even announce on social media what the party is. You either know the party is happening or you don't know. And the rule on the inside is if you are caught with a cell phone in your hand or taking a selfie, they kick you out immediately. I've been doing parties like this for the last 10 years.
There's some parties that actually sequester your cell phones at the door.
Actually, back in the early days of just so you know, in the gay clubs in New York City back in the day, no form of things that could be recorded in terms of a tape recorder or even a camcorder was allowed in them.
Sure. And back in the day, too, like when we would do events and stuff like that, and people, especially like community forums, people would stand up and sometimes the first thing they'd say is, like, please don't take my picture, because they just like they didn't want to be in the news or anything like that. So our expectations of privacy have really kind of changed, because now everybody's being documented all the time. But we still need these spaces, especially like if you're engaging in, sex acts. Yeah, like nobody signed up to be a porn star.
Well, Exactly. It's like I want to be a hoe in my own privacy, but you don't need to go put it on Instagram and make me legendary.
Are we going to start talking about Violet Tchotchke and Lib Depot?
No, we're still going to talk about me. Listen, we can double segue at the same time. Okay. It's like two dicks showing up in a glory hole with only one person, a man or two. You can still get the job done. I'm just saying. But yes, we're here to talk about the music.
So at these parties, basically, privacy is really important, and anybody who violates the privacy has to be escorted out.
I worked at a club down in Brooklyn where there were two DJs that were about to DJ, and they decided to tweet online that they're about to go and spin within the next 2 hours, and they took a picture of the space and put it on social media. And by the time they made it into the building and went past security to go upstairs to the roof and spin, they were actually escorted out the building and told they're not spinning for the night because they tweeted that this is where they were going to go and DJ. So this is new in the gay scene. It is not new in the straight world where I come from.
So are these clubs being able to afford to discourage people from promoting their name on social media?
It's new to the LGBT scene that there are places out there that do require its privacy. And, you know, as an old school queen from working in clubs, Kenny used to do the doors, and every club in New York City had this policy before people thought that their credit cards made them superstars. We have the right to refuse you at any time and turn you away for any reason. Because guess what? We can. Kenny used to turn people offline just because they didn't look like they had the right energy that belonged inside the club.
Well, how do these clubs let their customers know that they're going to have a party or anything like that? Are they sending them emails, or are they just like, it's word of mouth? How's that working?
It's kind of through word of mouth. It's kind of like how Michael Alec used to throw those raves back in the day. It was through word of mouth. It's like somebody will give somebody the information on a cell, and then they will call all their friends and be like, this is what I know. The date's going to be X, Y, and Z. Or they'll put up one post online that says the date for the party is going to be, let's say, April 18th, details to TBD. And then on the date of the 18th, it says check your phones for private text messages as to location. And that's it.
So basically, a lot of the organizers use text messaging to communicate with the customers.
Yes.
On where the party is going to be. And yes, so the idea is that you're not like putting it out there for the unwashed masses to consume. It's an exclusivity.
Right. Meanwhile, you will get there and there's probably 2,500 people there, but it's not there for all 8,800 people. And that's how they want it to be. You know, that sort of a thing. And, you know, most people have already know who the promoter is. So they will hit up that promoter ahead of time and be like, hey, I would like to know how I can pay for my ticket ahead of time. And that person would have already set up some form of a private want ticket link that they can go to and get it. And then they can pick up their tickets, even though, you know, and then they will then get their money from want ticket, and that person will have their stuff on their phone to show at the door that they paid.
And this is not a response to social media. Before the internet was what it is today, these parties were organized very much in that similar manner through phone trees.
Yes, this has been going on since the early 80s in terms of you know, discreet parties, you know, in that sense,
the party, you know, line.
That's always been the case. You know, I've been to raves and other parties where it was like, you would get the address and then turns out it's inside the middle of the, let's say, Verrazano Bridge. You know, somebody was able to open an access panel and then, people sneak in, you know, two at a time until it gets filled up. You walk inside, there's Christmas lights all across the side. You know, further deep inside the tube is like the DJ booth is set up. And stuff like that, you know, it's like, and at the end of the night, you heard, oh, we did 2,000-3,000 people.
If the internet rose afterwards, after these phone trees was a situation, why didn't these clubs and these raves use social media to promote their events and parties.
They don't want to attract the boring, tired, gentrifying people who, oh, it's the cool thing to do. Mm. Meanwhile, they'll be the same one showing up at a Trump rally going, kill the arts, kill the arts. Bitch, nobody wants you there. You cannot be a part of something that you are, you know, you're only doing it for shits and giggles. But to them, this is a life for them. This is a lifestyle. This is their world. This is their fantasy. You know, they don't want the fake people there that's just showing up to go, oh, look, I took pictures with a raver. Isn't that cool? Oh, look, there was a drag queen there. Oh, my God, I've never seen one of those before.
Well, also, there's for a lot of people who are organizing these kind of events, they don't have the resources to pay for you know, permits to do these kind of things. And so, you know, keeping them kind of as a speakeasy, as an underground event, it allows people who have modest resources to organize events that cater to their own community. And especially, I think the Get Down on Netflix really sort of illustrates that, how these poor black kids living in the Bronx mm-hmm. in the 1970s were able to organize these huge parties that, you know, and it was really used with the phone tree. They were just, you know, one person called another person and suddenly they had this amazing party. But, you know, eventually, if the police got a wind of it, they would come down and shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the case. But in a lot of these new parties, these people have made sure that even though their parties are quiet, they also make sure that they have all the right permits for everything to make sure that if the police does show up, there is no... The new rules in New York City now is if you do throw an illegal party, the first people who get arrested is the DJ, and it's not up for discussion. Because he allowed this to happen, the second set of people who they look for are the promoters.
Mm. Mm. So, Ornatia, your new track is available for pre-order on iTunes. In New Zealand, it's available for sale. Is this something that you're going to like start getting DJs to start spinning? Are you going to start bribing them with blowjobs or... To get up to,
I'll have them meet Ornatia's Dyson off a throat, and they can make out details in between ejaculations. Yes, I'm going to then start, you know, putting it out and speak to a few DJs, and you know, if you guys can help me spread the word too, that'll be awesome.
Well, we played a little bit in the beginning. We'll play a little bit of the song at the end. How's that?
That works too. You know, and stick a link in that thing also, you know, in terms of where to pick it up. I know it's going to be out on iTunes, and I think it's also going to be on Google Play.
Hot.
So that's how it's set up for right now. And it's also going to be streaming on about 90 different platforms once it's released, because I've also made arrangements for that.
That's great. I love it when you Rue Girls release music, because it's always interesting to see who comes up with what. What's your favorite, like, of all the music that the Rue Girls have released, what's your favorite one, besides, of course, your own?
I would say what one of my favorites was Alaska I Invented, that with Jackie Beat. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, that is a fun song.
It's Jackie B calling out everything that she did. Thunder Thighs, Sasquatch mm-hmm. Feet. I live for that track. I you know, Alaska
is... What about RuPaul? Let me consult my lawyers. She's
fine.
Let me
call my lawyer.
I have no problem with that, is what she says.
I have no problems with that Butch Queen at all.
Yeah.
You know. Now, she said all of that, you know.
But you know the real story behind all this, right, is that Jackie B pitched Logo, a reality TV series where she and some other queens would judge young drag queens. It was basically the idea for Drag Race, and they mm-hmm. declined, and then they went and communicated with RuPaul right. to develop RuPaul's Drag Race. But
RuPaul also says that she has been working with World of Wonder for like a decade trying to get this thing made. And so Logo didn't really come around until 2006. So it may have been two different like people competing but they went with the person who, you know, frankly has more star power.
And RuPaul had a TV show on VH1. Yeah, and that's probably what she was trying to get VH1. So eventually, you know, RuPaul got back on VH1 again.
And that's the thing is, you just kind of keep clawing your way. You can be up, you can be down, and then you just get back up again.
RuPaul is the ultimate gay phoenix. You know, she also had a morning show in the morning on the radio for mm-hmm. a while, and that's where RuPaul was able to hone her fierce chops in terms of, imagine being on a radio show to know that there are thousands of young gays just listening to your every single
word. I wonder what that feels like.
I really would like to know what that feels like and get paid for it.
Right. Unfortunately, I get paid in tumbleweed. So tumbleweed is not as fierce as bitcoins, honey. So tumbleweed times tumbleweed equals zero tumbleweed.
Well, back to the music, though, it's like, OK, so that's your favorite one. Which is the one that's the worst?
To be honest, I don't know, because I don't listen to all the drag queens tracks. When Alaska came out with her last set, I listened to it. I've glanced through Willem's stuff in the past, and I would say Willem created a new template in terms of what queens were supposed to do once you leave RuPaul's Drag Races. Go make a whole bunch of tracks and use that to repitch and relaunch your career and make you into something larger than life. And she's done something like that. Bianca Del Rio has said that she'll never be caught dead making a music album. But this is what I personally believe. I believe that it is up to every single drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race to make music, because by making music, you single-handedly are making music that will become a collective, that it'll give different young LGBT and older LGBT an option to who they want to listen to. We're going to be the pioneers of that world in terms of, think about it, the straight world already has a million artists out there left and right. Why shouldn't the LGBT scene? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't there be a slew of drag queens making tracks? And it's just a matter of preferences. Well, I like this queen over that queen. I like this queen's music over that one. Right now, everybody's following Adore's words, you know, hand over fist over foot. But, you know, for me, what I bring differently to this world more than all the other drag race girls is I grew up in the ballroom scene. I grew up in a real Vogan scene. And so that's the type of music that I want to bring from my end. Ladies and gentlemen, please note, even though I make tracks, I am not a singer. I can't sing to save my life.
That's why they're called bitch tracks. Well, you know, I remember like years ago, Faust and I interviewed Tay Zunday, who did that viral video, Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain. Some stay dry while others feel the pain. Chocolate Rain.
And he said, you know, if I remember correctly, that he feels as though it's not, you shouldn't ask like why you're singing the song. It's like, why aren't you singing? That the human default should be to sing. And if somebody isn't singing, then you have to just be like, why aren't you singing? Like as though like there's something wrong with you or something. Like it's the
that
humans,
is true.
You know,
that is true. My influence, I'll tell you this much. My biggest influence in terms of wanting to do this is Franklin Fuentes. Franklin Fuentes is the godfather of bitch tracks. You know, Marsha, Live in Color. She's looking very scary. She's here. She's queer. Get used to her. She's Tyler Moore. She's Mary. You know, and yes, bitch. Oh, Franklin Fuentes. Yeah, Franklin Fuentes is from New York. He's a New York City based artist, and he wrote many tracks over the years. I'm going to diss you right now. You know, he wrote so many tracks over the years. And so for me, growing up into those clubs back in the early 90s, to walk in 91 and 92 and hear his voice over the speakers, it's always made me want to go, bitch, I want to write my own bitch track. So even from back then, I started trying to figure out how to write bitch tracks on my own, because this is what I wanted to do. As I went along, I realized it's not just about wanting to write bitch tracks. You should try to figure out how to learn how to produce it yourself. Mm-hmm. That way, if you can produce it yourself, no one can tell you when your career stops. Mm-hmm. You see, producers in general, have you ever noticed that you've seen a lot of people on the planet with one-hit wonders? One-hit wonder, by the way, is a person who made one track and you never heard from them again. Mm-hmm. And then things that play
some of
into
best
what
songs happened in the world are what hidden one hit wonders.
Who let the dogs out?
So the problem, there's a few issues when you hear a one hit wonder. It's like, well, what happened to that queen? Well, this is what I do know from working, from seeing all these producers that I've worked with in the straight world. They at times decide that they're going to make this person fade out and they will tell their friends. And so when you as that artist try to reach out to other people, they're like, they make up a million excuses as to why they don't want to work with you. Or, well, somebody else gave me a project, so I'm busy. Meanwhile, that person is pining, going, please work with me. So one of the things that I learned from Inaya Day, Robin S., Christine W., and Ultra Nate, who did Free, You're Free to Do What You Want to Do, and and Naya Day did keep pushing on. And they, but they've all made over hundreds of tracks. As they said, if you're going to learn how to DJ, which is what I started with, they said, learn how to produce. And they said, and if you're going to produce, learn how to do it all, because there are going to be people out there who think that since they're the producers themselves, they're going to try to decide when they want to stop your career. Mm-hmm. So 3 years ago for me, once I started realizing, this is what I realized. New York is a bunch of shady ass motherfuckers. Come, honey, you could go vivacious. You done fucked up New York by making that statement. It is. New York is the place that the minute, the difference between New York and LA is there are many variating switches as to how you can rise if you come into the universe. Come into the universe is when you've done something that makes you more than just a normal person, such as me getting on RuPaul's Drag Race. That made me more than just a regular person. In LA, there are four levels to stardom. In New York, it's either on or off. Meaning that the minute you get to that position, if you didn't make it fiercely to the top, the minute that your name gets announced, you are screwed. However, in LA, there are so many different ways that you can still survive, because there are other designers that do hair, makeup, and everything else who said, hey, we saw you on that TV show. We don't care how far you get. Hey, let me make a costume for you. Make sure you put that out there. In New York, honey, you tell a designer that you went to RuPaul's Drag Race and asked them to make a costume. They're like, oh, you got RuPaul money. Oh, that'll be $1,700 just for the altar top and another $3,500. Meanwhile, you go to LA, he's like, girl, I'll make that shit for you for free. Just make sure you give me credit when you take a picture in it. That's the difference between New York and LA. So me, you know, trying to get this thing off the ground in terms of my music, so many people reached out to me. I could count you more than 88 prominent, well-known straight DJs slash a few gay ones that work in the straight scene. And there's this thing about needing to keep somebody down in New York, that whole thing of if you try to rise, we'll do everything to stop you. Yeah. And so New York has that mentality in terms of it, and no one's there to help. So you have to figure out how to do it yourself. So 3 years ago, a friend of mine opened up a music school. It's called Energia. It's out in Queens. And he invited me to come and take the first class on the steps on music production. So I went to Energia, NYC.com. Yes, I'm Michelangelo. I'm plugging your school. And he taught me the first steps of music production. And then over the next few years, whenever the classes were filled up with enough students, he would invite me back to take the next section. So it got to the point now where I felt that, you know what? I think I know enough from them that I can put 1 + 1 together to make 15. You see how fierce math is? 1 + 1 = 15. That's some math to think about, children.
This is GarageBand. This is how you turn on the computer. This is how you export the songs.
These are my dick pics.
Ooh. Right. So anyway, back to my...
let's talk about the Rue Girls.
The Rue Girls.
So songs, right, the best and the worst.
On Reddit right now, there's a thing is like they say the worst one is Lady Marmalade with the Manila.
The worst one?
The worst one.
I think that's one of the best ones, too.
Because it's so
bad. I think that's one of the best ones. I'm sorry. They did a really good... Those girls did a really good job on that one. I think the thing that I do know is my sound is unique to all those other girls, because those girls are literally doing top 40 tracks, and so my blend to that is to blend house music and bitch tracks mixed with top 40 all at once together, which is a different unique perspective, because these girls didn't grow up in clubs. They grew up in drag bars. In terms of the Lady Marmalade medley, I don't think that that was a bad thing. I think they did a really good job with that. You know, props to them. I don't think that was a bad track.
A couple things. About Lady Marmalade. So that's done by the Heathers, Raja, Manila Luzon, Delta Work, and Carmen Carrera. Carmen Carrera's post, you know, when she was feeling her oats and post, I guess they say post transition, but I think she's, you know, she's always in the process of transitioning to be even more feminine. So in this video, she struts through the door topless, only pasties covering her blossoms, her boobies. And Raja goes, my, how you've blossomed. And the thing about it is that they're all sort of like taking themselves very seriously by trying to be sexy. And, you know, Manila Luzon is in the blood a comedy queen. So it comes across as really ridiculous. And the auto-tuning going all the way, you know, making shares do believe seem modest by comparison, and all this like lens flare making JJ Abrams blush. It's a disaster of star booty proportions, and that's why I love Lady Marmalade done by the Heathers.
Well, the difference between me and most of these girls is I will not be having my voice under any machines to sound auto-tuned. Mm. I want you to hear the raw Jamaican mix with English accent vivacious. That's what I'm giving to you. I want so that when you hear a track, you be like, I know that bitch, that's vivacious. I know that manly, womanly voice anywhere. Mm-hmm. I know that manly man's voice. So I'm not here to give any illusions of anything.
Hold on a second. But if the public does react to your track as they did to Star Booty, don't be like RuPaul and buy every copy. Don't be like George Lucas with a Star Wars holiday special and sue people for not airing it or whatever. It's like, embrace the fact that it's a camp classic.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. This is what I've learned over time from being in this entertainment industry. And by entertainment, I mean working in a straight scene. When you do something a lot after a while, it doesn't matter who hates you on the side. You start to build your own cult following. And even if you're a bad singer, you will still have the people who want to follow you for what you do, the true fans. It's the reason why my Instagram page is only 60,000 plus people, because guess what? I'm not the most popular girl on the show. The fans that I have are really good core fans of mine. They'll be fans of other people too, and I'm very grateful that I have those fans. I don't have 750,000. I have mine. And they're not fake. They're all genuine, you know, and they support me. So those are the people who I'm here to keep impressing, or, you know, letting them still see another side of me. I wouldn't say so much impress, but my job is to keep doing my art so it gives them something to look forward to in that sense. And so I'm just going to keep growing in my direction and keep doing what I do. You know, remember, I'm that unsung club kid person that, you know, based on the other 90% of Drag Race, they're like, oh, you don't do pretty drag. You don't, girl, who cares?
One of drag my favorite songs of Alaska Thunderfuck is Give Me All Your Money, which is also the unofficial theme to Cooking with Drag Queens. listen to this lyric. So this is when the song, we always appreciated and loved Alaska, but when her album Anus came out, we really thought this is a superstar in the making. This is her song, Give Me All Your Money. She says, I look sickening, so give me all your money. I work so hard. I deserve this, honey. I've been working this ass from L.A. to Alabama, turning it out from the steamworks to the slammer. Sparkle your eyes like a kaleidoscope. And when I don't know the words, I'm like watermelon cantaloupe. My body is from Brooklyn. My hair comes from China. So keep on looking, trying to find this vagina.
Ooh.
Yay.
You have to give Alaska words for creativity. She is one of those queens, you know, and she gets the job done. She has some really good tracks out there. I've heard the whole album, and, you know, as I said, the one that stuck with me was I Invented That. She did a good job. Alaska knows how to change. She knows how to change her voice, and she's a full ladies and gentlemen, she's not a snake. She's a chameleon. And there's nothing fiercer than a chameleon, because it means that Alaska can rise to any occasion presented in front of her. And she does a really good job of it.
We're both from the House of Slytherin. Did you ever take the Harry Potter test?
I've never, but I'm hoping I'm from Gryffindor.
I answer that test like, I like sunshines, I love my dog, I'm a people person, I'm warm and friendly and kind, and the test was like, you are Slytherin.
It knows like, you. It knows who you are.
And what did you come out, Mark?
Oh, I was like a Hufflepuff or something.
That's good, right?
It's just dull.
You want to be either
Gryffindor, because that's how Harry's house. Hufflepuff is just like, meh.
But everybody wants to be part of Gryffindor.
Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are just boring.
It sounds like somebody trying to make up shit.
Listen, who the hell would... I would love to be in that dorm room staring at Harry Potter every day. I would have
picked his magic wand.
Honey, let me tell you something. I would have been on top of his Patronus every night.
Well, also, too, Ron Weasley, like his pet rat, was that one evil witch. So, you know, it's like when you have a pet, you jerk off in front of your pet because your pet doesn't know. So that little rat witch probably watched...
Ron Weasley rub one out.
Ron Weasley working his weasel, honey.
His little ginger wheeze.
DWV, Detox, Willem, and Vicky Vox split up, and one of their biggest hit songs was That Boy's the Bottom, and not to be...
Yes, I believe that was a very good fucking track. Willem is a mastermind.
But not to let that song go to waste, right? So Willem re-released it in Spanish, making it an even bigger hit with even more views. Right now, it's almost up to 6 million views on YouTube.
Because, you know, there's a lot of Spanish speakers in this world.
But it's also fun. It's kind of like... It's both making fun of people who can't pronounce words in Spanish, and it also celebrates the Spanish language. You know, we interviewed Willem about it. You can watch Willem talking about it on our YouTube channel. It's up right now, today, as part of our campaign, Cooking with Drag Queens. Mm. Have you sponsored Cooking with Drag Queens right now, folks? Because we need your help.
Go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and just pledge. A small pledge. Any pledge will help.
When we're under attack by Trump administration, by Republicans, by Nazis, the arts is one of the first things to die. And the arts matter because it's about creating meaning and a quality of life for everybody. It's about uniting our community. It's about telling our stories. And Cooking with Drag Queens, for a small amount of money right now, we're just about $1,000 and about...
Some change
from reaching our goal. 10,000, excuse me. 10,000 10,000 is a big difference.
But if everybody
if everybody just doubled their pledge right now, we can get to that goal in 2 weeks. So go to cookingwithdragqueens.com. Please. Please. And
if you make a good substantial donation, I will have Ornacia show you how she does the vacuum spin.
Oh,
that sounds dirty.
Girl, that's when she swallow you know what, and you know what all. And it's called the trifecta or the Trinity effect. And I don't mean Trinity Taylor or Trinity K. Bonet. That's when she swallow all three of your closest friends at the same time. And she keeps going until she gets her results.
You're pretty horny for somebody who's celibate. Well, maybe that's why you're horny.
I am not horny, bitch. I'm doing whatever it takes to help y'all make money for this damn show.
She will suck the dicks, and she won't like it.
That is so
She'll wrong. Be like, oh, those awful, awful dicks.
I'm only doing it so that Cooking with Drag Queens can become number one in the talk show stadium. Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice. So, children, make sure you please, please donate Cooking with Drag Queens. This is her wonderful cause. And remember, a few days ago, that ugly administration voted in Europe that they will not stop the ban on LGBT debts. Mm. So this is the time that we truly need to support the arts in our own community instead of supporting people on the outside who... They only want us for the money, but will not physically and actively use their platforms to defend and protect us.
Yeah, about that thing with the UN resolution is, you know, some of that stuff is kind of taken out of context. There, you know, a lot of media companies are reporting that the U.S. Denied a resolution that would ban, the murder of gay people for the fact of being murdered. That part of a resolution was contained within a larger resolution that banned the death penalty completely. And so because the U.S., we do have the death penalty here in some states. And I guess probably even at the federal level, I'm not really sure how that exactly works. That's why it was denied. But the State Department, even though, you know, it's part of, you know, Trump's hateful places, you know, for LGBT people, I guess it's kind of still an okay place to work. They still have good benefits, and they are trying to do LGBT outreach. And they do say that they do condemn that part of the statement, that, you know, being gay or LGBT is not something that should be made you, like, put to death. But because it was condemned, contained in this larger thing. That's why they didn't ratify it.
So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Well, like,
it means that some news organizations out there take things because they want those clicks. So they want those kind of clicks. And I don't believe in the death penalty, you know, myself. And I don't think the United States should have one. You know, I don't think there's nothing wrong with putting somebody in prison for the rest of their life if it warrants that crime or if they're a menace or a danger to society. The thing is, though, it's like that's where our government stands right now. And so they're not going to endorse that because we don't endorse that here ourselves.
I think that when set up, instead of putting people to death, they should give people like sentences, like I sentence you to atrial fibrillation by head.
What is that?
That's called getting a heart attack from getting too much head back to back, honey.
I don't know if that's possible. I usually find like when my heart's a little racy or something like that, I'm like, you know what I need? I need a nice little orgasm.
Oh, I have some great news. The number of gay and bisexual men diagnosed with HIV has fallen by more than 20% in the UK.
This is extremely wonderful news. And
of course, the whore drug PrEP is responsible for that, basically. And it's happening here in the United States as well. And this is just in basically preliminary trials. They haven't implemented it fully into the country. Mm-hmm. But according to the government of the UK, the health department, new diagnoses have fallen by about 20% from 2015 to 2016 in 1 year.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like with people on PrEP, it doesn't mean that like everybody in your group has to take PrEP, but even just like when some of the people take it, it really dramatically lowers transmission of HIV. I'm all for it. I guess also too, I was talking to, I think it was a listener in Australia, and he said that, I think it was Taiwan, and saying that it was very expensive there. So a lot of people just go to Thailand and get like a year's prescription of PrEP, and it's like, it's super cheap in some countries.
We're going to Thailand, girl.
Well, you can get your boobies done,
you can get a facelift, you can get a vagina down there, everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you need to get cheap PrEP, Misunderstood goes to Thailand once a year to get for Screaming Queens.
Yeah.
So just give your order to Misunderstood at ScreamingQueens.com and she will buy it for you and bring it back to America.
I think you said,
and then she will charge you the price for the PrEP that you need.
She's a drug mule.
Well, I think you still need some kind of prescription, so I don't know how
to say. Go to the doctor in Thailand and say, I love all the sex, all the gay sex. I don't use any condoms.
Just go there and say, just say, listen, I've been with 15 lady boys within the last 2 hours. And they will just throw you all the PrEP you need in hopes that one of those placebo pills is the real one to get you done, honey.
Well, I think also, too, isn't what do you call it for Truvada, the copyright on it is expiring soon, too, isn't it?
Is it? I didn't know that.
So it should drop down in price dramatically.
It's changing its name from Truvada to Freevada.
it also depends also on if the manufacturer, you know, that you can actually spend extra money to have the copyright extended.
Oh fuck, we're so dead,
right? So that can also be if the manufacturer decides not to extend the copyright period, yes, he would have to reapply. And I think it's whatever the amount was the first time, it's twice the amount the second time, or it might be what half the value of what the overall drug is right now combined in terms of sales, if they want to extend it. And if he does that, then it won't go down. But if not, then that would be nice that Truvada would be more. I think once the copyright goes down, it means then that local pharmacists can then replicate Truvada at a lower price, and it will be more easily available in multiple countries for hopefully half the price, sometimes if not 3/4 of the price. You know, in that sense, Nelson Mandela had actually done that in South Africa when he became president. He invited a whole bunch of countries over there to help him to find a cure for HIV. And once they came up with a pill that actually worked, he actually removed all the scientists from the country and took their patented work and gave it to regular places that could recreate the drug and literally gave it out for free in this country because the HIV rate was that high.
Yeah, it was super high. Mm-hmm. And also, too, like getting people on treatment in Africa and also to PrEP in Africa has dramatically reduced the number of HIV infections in Africa. Because yes. In some places, I think it was like half the people had HIV. And once you get them on treatment, it helps.
And back then, the pharmaceutical companies was trying to turn to the World Health Organization in the United States to sue South Africa and Africa to say, how dare this man take our patent and give it away for free because all they cared about was making their own money. Mm-hmm. And he literally kicked them out of the country. And since the fact that the country decided on a whole, we're going to give it away for free, what are you going to do? Throw sanctions against them? Mm-hmm. No. So everyone was able to benefit in the country. And it actually did help extend a lot of people's mm-hmm. lives. And I think that was a very noble thing to do and a very ballsy and gutsy thing that a president would throw out all the countries he invited in to come up with a pill that worked and then just give it away just to help the country rebuild.
Vivacious, have you ever had like something and you're eating something? You're like, oh, what's this made with? And the person says, it's made with love. Well, the FDA said love is not an ingredient in food. So Neshoba Brooks Bakery, they made something and they listed on their ingredient list a love. But then they got a letter from the FDA that said, love is not a common or unusual name of an ingredient and is considered to be intervening material because it is not part of a common or unusual name of the ingredient. So they said, you cannot include love as an ingredient in your baked goods.
But an angel cannot make love mm-hmm. because an angel is love.
Mm-hmm.
quote from Barbarella there. Did you also hear that I guess it's a new study that being undetectable is the same as being untransmittable.
Well, the Center for Disease Control has finally come out and said that, even though it's something that people that have been working on the forefront of HIV and AIDS have been saying for years and years and years, and the science and research has backed up. But finally, the CDC has caught up and said, you know, if you're having sex with somebody and they are using treatment, it is, you know, treatment is prevention. They cannot infect you with HIV. So, and I've been telling this on the podcast for years, like if you're out there, if you're having sex without condoms with people, it is, you know, it's you're better off having sex with somebody who's HIV positive on medication than somebody who thinks they're negative and may not be.
That would be true. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the shoe has literally mm-hmm. turned mm-hmm. that sense.
You know, I was on a hookup app recently. I was chatting with somebody and it's like I barely got very far into the conversation. When one of the first things they asked me is like, are you negative? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, you don't know what kind of sex I'll have. You don't even know if I'm interested in having sex with you. You don't know any of these things. And before, like right after, hi, hello, how are you? The first thing out of your mouth is, are you negative? And I was just kind of like, I don't know. To me, it was like it was just a turn off. It's, you know, I am negative, but I'm just thinking to myself, already that's just kind of showing a weird prejudice right there. Because there's so many ways to protect yourself now.
Well, here's the thing. That conversation could go two ways.
Yeah.
He was probably one of... Listen, there's a... you know we've all met them. The queen who, after you say hi, it's like ASL, which is age, sex, location.
Sure.
Then they ask you if you're positive or negative. And the reason why is because that answer right there determines if you're coming over right this minute to knock them up or not. Me, personally, I like to let the conversation grow and mature, whether it be hours, you know, before I bring up that part of the conversation and ask, so what's your status in that sense?
Yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask, but I'm just like, when it comes off as like it's the first thing, to me, it just seems weird to me. You know?
Well, you got to remember something. Remember. Every single LGBT person, I don't care how stable they think they are, we are all, in a sense, wired a little bit with a little bit of fidgetness in us. What do I mean by that? For the fact that society literally try to, you know, give us a label the minute that we identify ourselves as as LGBT and try to make us look like we're the biggest abomination on the planet, mm-hmm. it creates a psychological effect where some gays are very fidgety in terms of how they perceive how to mm-hmm. control conversations with people. And so some of them are very insecure, and you know, and some of them are very aggressive in terms of how they go about trying to have a conversation with some people. And I could see that person who asked you that is one of those little shy types who don't really know how to like.
Oh, honey, he didn't look shy at all to me.
Well, you know, some people just don't know, you know, as one of the queens, some people don't know how to condone or conduct, you know, a proper tone of a conversation to get the proper results in terms of what they would desire. And by saying it in a triggered way, which is what this person has done, you know, yes, that language becomes a turnoff immediately. I once met a school teacher. He was like, if you're not going to fuck me within the first 15 minutes when you walk in the door, don't come to my house.
Yeah.
Mark's showing me a photo of the guy. He looks like he's got a very busy agenda,
mm-hmm.
and he don't have any time to waste. That's why he's on these
social apps. And the reason why he's asking you that question is the minute that you say you're negative, he's going to be sending you the address because he wants you to come and flush him out real quick. He wants a liquid enema, if you know what I mean.
You know,
and he wants you to leave. And he wants you to leave in under. He wants you to leave in under 5 minutes. He don't want to hear you just even say thank you.
Yeah.
He don't want to go, hey, I would like to do this again. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even want to know your name, your rank. He just wants to know what your at sign is on whatever.
Well, it's also too. It's like, you know, he wants to know whether I'm negative, but also too is like, did he ask when the last time I was tested? Like, how is he basing this thing? I might think I'm negative, but I haven't been tested in over a year. So how would I even know at this point in time? And so this guy, he's having more risk having sex with these guys who are negative than he is having with guys who are positive on treatment. That's all I want to say on that. Listen, have you heard about have you ever watched the TV show Glee? Do you remember Puck? The guy who played a teenager, but he looked like he was 30 years old. And you could kind of, like, he looked young and fresh when the show first started. But then you could see, like, he really deteriorated over time.
He suffered from a case of Peter Panitis, and let's just say his Peter Panitis caught up to him.
It sure did. So he agreed to plead guilty to one federal court of possession of child pornography, and so he could get up to 20 years in jail. But when they say, like, he pleaded guilty to one federal count of possession, this is what they say he possessed, right? Downloading more than 50,000 images of kids and erotica, sexualized images of children, and over 4,000 photos and 160 videos of child pornography that he had on a thumb drive. And I guess he showed it to a girl he was dating because it was like as though it was some part of their sexual relationship, and she's just like, oh no, honey.
And so she ratted him out to the cops.
Yeah. Sweetie, which she should have. She was probably not the first person that had probably seen it, but because he's a celebrity, people are just like,
isn't that why Subway sandwiches took so long to, you know, sort of move forward with Jared Fogle?
Because he was a celebrity, right?
Yeah. It's the same idea. It's like.
And they also wanted to, like, really.
Grab
like,
him by the pussy.
They wanted to catch him, but I think they also wanted to catch other people that were involved in his ring or something like that.
And that's why, ultimately, like, I think, you know, Trump bragging and being this really awful person about how, you know, as a celebrity, he can get away with being a monster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just even him like throwing those paper towels to Puerto Ricans like it was like it was playing with a dog almost. Mm-hmm. Right. It's well, like I posted on social media. I said, we are all Puerto Ricans because we are all suffering as a consequence of this horrible man and this horrible Republican political party that is trying to destroy this country to get themselves slightly richer.
Mm.
This is what I wrote yesterday on what my interpretation of that was. Give me 1 second. I'm waiting for this hoe to load up. And, you know.
Yeah, take your time. It's not like we're taping a podcast.
Load that hoe up.
Listen, I
want to do a shout out to Aline, who just now donated to Cooking with Drag Queens. A little thing came up. Thank you, Aline.
And Amy and Donnie and the Genuine One. Mm. Who, you know, Genuine One gave $3 and it may seem like you're listening to this and it's like, that seems like, you know, genuine. You could have given $6 or something, right? But it's everybody listening to this right now. This single podcast today, if everybody who listened just gave $3, we would have funded Cooking with Drag Queens. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like, there's so many exciting projects just around the corner with Ornatia, with the Ornatia's mother, Vivacious, with Coco Peru, with T.S. Madison, with
we're ready to go.
Ready to go. We got some really great stuff. Unfortunately, we don't have the money to do it. And we need your support to continue this project. And we have a lot of other sub projects as a consequence of funding Cooking with Drag Queens 3 that are just around the corner. We're looking to do a cooking drag queen competition. There's a lot of new podcast projects that we all are waiting to move forward with. If we can get this Cooking with Drag Queens 3 Fry Harder's funded, we can't do it without your support. We know you guys listen to the show every day because we see the download numbers, and they're huge. And really, it's just a couple more people who listen to the show deciding, hey, you know what? Now's the time. I'm ready to move forward. I'm going to make a generous donation of $200, and I'm going to talk to Vivacious for an hour on the phone. I have some quality time with my drag queen that I love. Are you ready now, Vivacious?
Yes. So this is what I wrote in regards to what Trump did. I said, so he throws toilet paper at them like he's doing them a favor. A handout.
Paper towels.
They should be grateful. Here, let me throw you a crumb, a bone. And that's what it felt like he was doing when he did that. And it's like, you know, it's like, I believe that there should be a section of the White House staff that teaches this man tact. Tact is something that he does not have, and tact covers many subjects. And I believe that this administration needs an office on tact before this man even sneezes, walks out the house, touches his phone, kisses his wife, kisses his dog, slaps his son. You know, he needs a class on tact because he doesn't have it. And everything he does is, you know, we can all sit here and go, well, he is them and they're not us. But at the end of the day, from every other country looking in, he represents all of us. And we have to hold him responsible for this. And so when you see it, call it out.
Well, part of it is like, you know, all of us have the ability to be Trump. All of us have this deep, horrible ability to be monsters, to be someone who takes their personal pain and suffering and imposes their punishment on those around them. And we choose not to be that person. Let Trump be an example on how not to treat your fellow human being. Let him be a signpost on what kind of politician we are not willing to elect and accept. And, you know, he did not get a majority of the vote. He's imposed upon us like very much like a tyrant, like a colonial rule. And we need to do anything by any means necessary to prevent, take back the power that we have been taken away from. The internet is about to be destroyed by the Trump administration. And, you know, a lot of these companies like Facebook, you know, Google, they're more than happy to see it be destroyed because they feel like they have their base covered. Amazon thinks they have their base covered and they're idiots. Mm. They're all this stuff is basically to destroy the American economic infrastructure system and move it overseas. And there's a lot of hubris right now, not just in terms of Republicans, but in terms of Democrats, in terms of independent people thinking this is not going to affect me. And that's why it's just so important right now to be like, check off your list and be like, have I participated in my community? Have I supported the arts? Have I been active politically? Like Tatiana is one of the few drag queens on Twitter, bless her heart, that's actually calling out Republicans on a regular basis. And, you know, I don't expect everybody to behave the same way. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to sort of follow their conscience. But it really bothers me tremendously that even when the cause is just, that some of these really famous drag queens use their social media as a way to get even with the personal pain and suffering that they're experiencing. That's what fascism is. You know, it's you saying, I'm going to make this individual, this business, this specific place suffer because I was humiliated. Mm. And not because others are humiliated. It's only because I went through the suffering at this point in time that I'm now taking action about this. And part of it is like, you know, you're an entertainer. You have to be, you know, everybody's, you have to lift everybody's spirits and help everybody sort of forget about their woes. And I understand at the same time you want to keep your name out there, you know. And I feel like with Violet Chachki and Le Depot, I think Le Depot did did a terrible thing on pulling, you know. I don't know how they handle it, but they obviously didn't handle it very well. And at the same time, Violet Chachki didn't handle it well either.
Well, she looked like she had been drinking. And usually when people are drinking, they don't always make the best choices.
And bars have been known to be very exclusionary, elitist. You know, so Studio 54 or 64? What is it?
Studio 54
used to, you know, exclude tons of people because they weren't celebrities or attractive enough or rich enough to come into their bars, you know. And I think it's actually healthy that people are criticizing clubs like this for being elitist organizations. And at the same time, we want our safe spaces. We want to be able to let loose and let go of our inhibitions. And that's what nightclubs are for. So it's a conversation we need to be taking and not turning it into a witch hunt. And that's what Trump would behave like. When you go on your social media and you say, you know, someone attack this person or this business because they are bigots, they're awful people, you're just as bad as Trump.
Yeah.
You're taking your personal pain and suffering and imposing it on the will of others.
And the thing is, too, which is kind of telling, I think, with the whole thing with Violet Chachki and Le Depot, is that, you know, she said what she said. Then they came out and said, this is our position and we're considering legal consequences, you know, because of this. And her response was just like, hey, there's good people, there's bad people. I love France. I'm just over it.
There's good people on both sides.
Well, and that's the thing. Well, it's also, too, it's the whole thing like, I'm over it, meaning to my fans, leave it alone. Because at this point in time, I don't want you to question me about it anymore because, well, there's legal consequences, maybe. But also, is it her way of saying, I overblew the situation, that, you know, maybe I was at fault. And because I'm, you know, too young or too immature, like, I don't want to admit that I'm at fault here. And so don't question me about it. Just let it go. I'm over it. You should be over it, too.
This is what I had this argument with a few bunch of people yesterday on social media. And I wrote initially, I said, I don't think it was Violet Chachki's initial intention to do what she did. I think, you know, you got to remember, she's a young queen. She's not my age. I'm 3 times older than Violet. You know, if you are somebody who won a TV show and you know that everything that you do is based on all your social medias being on all of the time for your promotions, to be told off or said that to turn it off, you're going to look at them like, excuse me? So I believe that Violet Chachki, the rules of the space was not fully expressed to her. Yes, she was brought there as a guest, but they didn't fully express to her that, hey, girl, please do not, you know, talk about the space or put it on social media. Now, this is what I wrote. I wrote yesterday. I said 400 people in that space can take selfies of themselves and post it online. But guess what? It's not going to go viral. If Violet Chachki puts up one post of that space, it's going to be 9 times the amount of viralicity of that post compared to those other 400 people in that space.
Well, remember, though, too, like there was two areas of this club. There was a club where everybody goes, and then there's a place like downstairs or next door, and that's the place where the people, you know, get jiggy with it. And so that's the place you're not supposed to take photos of.
Right. And I think that's where she probably made the mistake and was probably doing something. You know, and that's probably what precipitated them to say, please, we're going to ask you to leave. And, you know, for a young queen that's won RuPaul's Drag Race to being told that you need to leave someplace, you know, it's like, excuse me, but I'm a winner. Do you not know who you think I am? That is who I is. Ain't no. You know, and it's like, because remember, for a person like her, it would be like an insult to her ego, you know, to tell her to leave a space. And so she doesn't understand that implication of what she did, that she did something of an improprietorial sense of impropriety that you know, make them go, excuse me, girl, you need to leave, you know. And so she went out and then she posted her video. And then when the club realized, now remember, the club did not respond to this until they started to get attacked. Because I've worked both sides of the club scene. I've worked the side where I'm just the worker coming in, and I've worked the side where I'm management. And yeah. I know that in the clubs, and I work in clubs, and I know that as much as you're a friend of mine, if you come in and you start taking bumps because, oh, I know Vivacious, he's cool with me, I'm throwing you the fuck out because you're not fucking with my paycheck.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt too. It's like I've been kind of like been with performers when we used to put on shows and been on that aspect of it. But then also too, I've managed bars and restaurants, and it's, you know, sometimes people you have to toss them, and that's just they don't belong there. And you they know, don't I, like it always, my, but most of the time it's but like let, kind of.
Let's also too, in defense of gender nonconforming people who do get unfairly treated. And part of it is like, you know, what applies, you know, people who are in minority positions get unfairly scrutinized.
Yeah.
And
racial profiling.
And racial profiling. That kind of and it's like this. There's also an element to the way this club handled it, that Violet Tchotchke was singled out because she's gender nonconforming. Yeah.
If she was some big muscle guy, would they have dragged her out by her hair?
And if it was some big muscly porn star who is also equally famous taking pictures, which I'm sure happens as well, they would have not lifted an eye. So definitely, you know, at the same time, Violet is right in everything that she did, except the fact of the way she handled it. And at the same time, you know what?
She's young.
Maybe this is a good thing, is that we're having this conversation now, and clubs all around the world are saying to themselves, we need to rethink about this because we live in different times.
Listen, I told this girl yesterday, I said, there's a club in New York City that they don't like drag queens in there. They would prefer that if a drag queen comes in there, please leave your drag at home. Do I get bent out of shape over something like that? I'm like, no, you can do two things when you meet places like that. You either just don't go. Not everywhere is for everyone. That's just how life is.
And that's not how I like to live my life. I like to include everybody. I want to be an inclusive person, but I also understand the need for exclusivity as well.
Okay. Let's look at this from the other point of view. If we start to include everything in terms of everything is for everything, what's when that next crazy person comes up and goes, I'm suing you because as a man, you won't let me into the woman's dressing room. We're not covering the trans subject. I'm just saying a man. You see how all of a sudden, this whole thing can just slip down into a rabbit hole and a slippery slope that you're like, well, goddamn. You know, it's like if you keep making rules for rules, it's like how far down the hole do you go in that sense? You know, so it's like that club in New York City that doesn't want drag queens in there, child, I pay it nooch. It's so, only one club. We have 300 other LGBT clubs. This one is an LGBT club, but you know, they want the manly men, the ones who want, you know, the ones that want to smell their armpits and all of that. They don't want to see a drag queen in there, and they'll frown. The crowd itself will also frown upon you for coming in there, you know, because I've known a drag queen who won the title for that place as a man, and she goes, but they don't know that she was actually a drag queen.
So let's move on. I want to talk about Love and Luck. They're a new audio drama podcast that's a queer love story set in Australia, told via voicemails with a touch of magic. This is an ad, by the way.
This is an ad, but it's a really cute ad for a podcast that just started out of Australia. And it's made for people who like healthy relationships and happy endings. The story is about two men who fall in love, learn they have magic powers, and use those powers to support and protect their community.
The good guys win, no one dies, and queer people of all types are loved and valued. You can check them out at Love and Luck. podcast.com
and, you know, subscribe to it wherever you subscribe to all your other podcasts.
Love and Luck, because love matters too. With a little bit of luck. I don't know if that's what they say.
Well, I really like the concept too, because it's like the story is just told through voicemails. So you just like, it's one guy leaving a voicemail for his lover and the other one like leaving another one back. And
so it's like,
it's interesting to see how like the magic kind of develops over time, because they discover they have like these superpowers.
Ooh.
And they have Australian accents. What's not to love? About love and luck.
So it's basically like Courtney Axe in voicemail.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's really cute.
Again, check that out at loveandluckpodcast.com.
Yeah, because I mispronounced the word and. Mm. It's spelled A-N-D.
Mm.
If I had superpowers, the superpower that I would ask for is the ability to just zap it at people and turn them gay. And the reason why I say that is this. The planet is changing.
Mm.
Imagine if you zapped everybody with the ability to be fashionable, to have a heart, because that's what is missing, heart right now. This planet is very, you know, it's like they don't have a lot of empathy towards other people. So imagine if you could zap them. You know, they always say that the reason why a lot of straights don't like gays is because gays have two souls. We have a feminine soul and a masculine soul. And so we can tap into the empathic side of ourselves. And that's the reason why we see things from a different spectrum from other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think about it. Gays to me are the screensaver of the universe. While everything else is moving forward, we're behind the scenes fixing and making things look better. You know, I mean, think about it. If Trump had a gay person, his hair wouldn't look like that. Kellyanne Conrice wouldn't look like a hot mess. That Kim Chow, who was down in whatever state, mm-hmm. not refusing to sign LGBT people to get married, she wouldn't look like she got beat up by the washing machine.
Melania has a gay on her side then, right? She must have a gay.
No, she doesn't. She's just Russian FSB, honey.
What's
she already
FSB?
Went to finish. FSB is actually a Russian spy camp in Russia, and they teach them how to pretend to be American and infiltrate different parts of American society. And I believe that bitch is one of those. You heard it here first, honey.
What did you say? You said gays stand for generations ahead of yesterday.
Generations ahead of you. And by the way, that track will be coming out in my six track EP coming out within the next 3 months. So since I've released Ornacia as my first track, that one is coming out shortly also as well. And I also have a track coming out calling I'm Dancing DJ Drag Queen Diva.
Ornacia.
Remember, every time you hear her go, just pretend of her getting knocked in the back of her uvula.
You need to have sex doll, you Ornacia. Just get one of those big giant drills and put a hole in her big mouth.
Actually, I was thinking of making like a baby Christmas Ornacia that I could sell.
Oh yeah. I wonder, can you get little tiny
like
dolls?
Like you can hang on the Christmas tree.
I thought it would be a cute thing. It's like, you know, like wrap her in swaddling clothing, laying her ass in a manger.
You need to do an
like
entire
that.
Manger scene with every character, Mary, Joseph, the donkeys, the camels, the three wise men. Each one of them has an Ornacia head.
Give them all Ornacias with matching color Ornacias on there.
The Ornacia.
It's like, so I guess the donkey would be an Orn Key.
Mm-hmm.
A camel would be an Ormel.
That sounds good to me.
And then the star in the sky would be the star of Ornacia shining down in the town of Ornacelahem. Everybody else can have their regular names.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, Mary, you know, and who was it? Joseph, Mary, and Ornacia, right?
I think so.
That
big old head came out of between her legs.
And instead of having the three wise men, you just have that triple Ornacia head walking. But we need to give it a third hand in the middle, so it's given gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Well, instead of kings, you could use queens, but I don't know if you'd be able to find three wise queens.
Well,
burn.
Burn.
You know what? They might exist on season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, we'll see. Are you excited about the mysterious lineup? I feel like this year, more than anything, like people know exactly who's on it, and they all have opinions.
They all always do, you know? Yeah.
This is what I believe. I believe by them giving these queens more week to pack loose lip sync ships, because these girls are running around frantically and have literally sold their soul in trade and in trade for, hey, I need X, Y, and Z from you. And you got to remember, the get on RuPaul's Drag Race creates a huge jealousy from the ones who have not gotten on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they like to talk. And they're hoping that by them blabbing to their friend, that hopefully will get that queen kicked off the show.
Girl, there's a queen. You know, there's a queen in town who's pissed and feels like the person that made her video to audition for RuPaul's Drag Race
felt
like that they intentionally sabotaged it.
Well, here's the thing, sweet. To that girl in your part of town who felt that the other queen sabotaged it, first of all, if you read the audition, RuPaul didn't ask you to go and get a cinematographer to do your damn video. She said she wanted you to do it yourself so that she can see the true heart of you. She's not looking for what somebody else's interpretation is of you. When I did my video, no one helped me with it. I did it all myself. I set up three tripods and pretend I was doing a porno scene and munch trade. I mean, oh, sorry.
That's you did? Wrong
story. No, I did set up three. I set up three tripods off my own, and then I recorded everything that I needed for RuPaul's Drag Race with three different point of views in terms of how the cameras were set up. Mm-hmm. And then I went in and I sliced them all together, showing me from different angles, and that's what I submitted in.
Mm. Nice.
So RuPaul is not looking for your friend who helped design the set from Dungeons and Dragons and went to NYU's School of Filmography, so, honey. Do it your damn self.
So what this queen did is they sent it to them, but afterwards they felt like maybe it wasn't good or they didn't like the angles. They reshot it on their own and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to send you that one. This is the real one. But they didn't make it anyway. I shouldn't be laughing because that's their hope and dream. But I just think it's kind of funny that it's just like you would think that somebody would sabotage you in that way.
Well,
nobody wants to.
Yeah.
Especially nobody when you're paying them to do that.
No, listen, there will never be any person to sabotage somebody to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, because even the person that's filming, at the end of the day, he can take credit and said, my filming helped this ugly ass ungrateful bitch of a hoe to get on RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm. There is no person that would intentionally sabotage somebody. I mean, unless of course you are one of those people who you've done a lot of things in life and you happen to be auditioning for RuPaul's Drag Race and karma finally caught up with your ass and you went and asked that enemy who you dusted a long time ago and he's been waiting for a chance to come get back at you. So check your receipts before you show up to the counter, honey. What did you do?
check your receipts before you come up to the counter.
And this is some advice that I want to give to the listeners who have dreams of wanting to be on any reality TV show, whether it's RuPaul's Drag Race or not. You may be the most amazing artist and have the most beautiful video, and they still won't cast you. Not because you're not amazing, but because they're not ready for you. Mm. They're trying to make a TV show with a narrative and a storyline that they want to make. And if you suit their purposes, you'll be in. If you don't, it means not yet.
Mm. It's not only that, girl. Don't rush it. They will also write a narrative to send your ass home before time. Trust me, I left third. I am not a happy homosexual.
There's a saying that says, now what? Meaning, because your dreams, if you keep pushing, your dreams will eventually or may likely come true. But a lot of people, it's not about your dreams coming true. Is what once you actually get to that place, it's being prepared mentally and spiritually and, you know, logistically in order to take advantage of the moment. Now what? Right? You get on RuPaul's Drag Race. You fund Cooking with Drag Queens. What? You get to this place. Now what? Mm. That's where your mind needs to be.
Without a doubt. I want to do a shout out to Fifi O'Hara, who has gotten all the queens together for Queens United, Reinas Unidas, a drag show for Puerto Rico. I guess it's going to be in Minneapolis on Monday, November 6th. And so all the money from that is going to go to the relief effort to help the people that are suffering from the latest hurricane that's gone through Puerto Rico.
I heard the drag queens are going to be tossing rolls of paper towel into the audience.
I hope that's part of the plan. I hope that's
somebody does that in their act. Mm-hmm. If they're not...
They better.
On the count of three, can we give a fair shout out to Fifi O'Hara by going yas? One, two, three. Yes! O'Hara, yes, mama.
I'm dying a little bit on the inside, though.
So it's going to be hosted by Ginger Minj, and I guess Nasha Lopez is also co-hosting it, and I think they're going to have some kind of live feed, and Nasha is going to be doing it in Espanol.
Oh, qué bueno.
And according to Fifi's latest thing that she posted up a few hours ago, the last time I checked, she said that there's going to be more names added to the roster. Mm-hmm. So she has a few more names.
Girl, there's already like 50 girls. There's one, two, three, four.
I know. I saw the list and I thought it was an impeccable amount. Personally, I think Fifi, I hope this can turn into something where you might be able to take it to another city as well. I'll tell you this much. If she had said this was in New York, I would have signed up. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm not in a top five position where I have extra money to go to Minneapolis and go and do something like that. But if it was in New York, yes, I would have already sent in my request and go, yes, this is something that I would like to do. Mm-hmm. When the Pulse tragedy had happened, I was reached out by a friend of mine who worked at a bar on a Thursday night, and she said, all proceeds goes towards Orlando, and she contacted about nine other queens, and we all performed our hearts out, and we raised some really good money between the nine of us for Orlando at the time for Pulse. So if it was in New York, yes, I'd probably be the first person online, go and sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. I realized that this one was extremely far away. And I'm like, no, girl, folks, I am po' broke. That's why y'all need to go get my track on iTunes, okay? Help me get out of this miry clay, because there is more that I want to bring to the world. And, you know, there's more that I want to bring to you all, because it's like, I didn't get into drag because of RuPaul's Drag Race. I got into drag because I realized 20 years ago that it was my job to help spread gay rights in places that people didn't know that gay people existed. I've been fighting for 27 years to make sure people understand where the LGBT community comes from. And it is my job to keep making this fight going straight into the future the same way. I don't plan on stopping. I love what I do, you know, and I'm going to keep doing this. So, you know, that's where we are at this moment. So, you know, even though I don't have the top five money, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop my mission. My mission is to still keep putting art out into the world, because there is a fierce section of the planet that don't want to engage us in a dialogue. Mm-hmm. They want to pretend that we don't exist. And my job is to walk into their realm and bring attention to us. But not just the LGBT community. When I mean us, I mean all the issues that involve social justice.
And our nation.
And that glory hole Christian Mingle Child Ornacia.
Vivacious Ornacia's single is available for pre-order on iTunes. Order for 99 cents, honey. Treat yourself. If not, you cheat yourself. Mm-hmm. Go get it right now.
Ornacia. Ornacia heads for Halloween, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, while we were talking on the phone, a couple from California just bought two.
Ah, nice. And then, what's the best way to get a hold of you to order those?
You can send me a message on vivaciousofficial@gmail.com, and I will send you the info for it. I normally post everything up through Instagram, and it gets out to all the fans that's on my page. And they then share it with their friends. So I get other people chiming in at different points asking for it. So even while we were talking right now, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, I'll be up sending off to Ornacia's to Happy California. Oh, and TuneCore just told me that they're happy to collect my royalties worldwide.
Well, all okay. Right.
All right, girl.
You get it, TuneCore. Sorry, well, now that you're a music producer, maybe you can produce my next single. I have two singles I'm working on. One's called Beer, and the other one's called My Wig's Too Tight.
Been up all night. I don't want to fight because my wig's too tight.
That's that. Okay, you sound like Solange over there. Remember, she's like, don't touch my hair.
My wig is too tight. I'm ready to fight.
Well, this is what I would say. This is what I would say to me. Come back in a year with me with your track. Okay. I want to get stronger in terms of my production. Remember, this is my first track that I've ever done myself.
Yeah.
So I would love everyone's support if you could download the track and help me, because your support is just going to add more fuel to my determination. You know, as I said, for many years, I've seen many fierce artists out there, and I always wondered why they only have a one-hit track. And it's because a lot of producers have taken it upon themselves to make some fierce LGBT icons disappear, you know, and I'm like, that person should still be singing, that person should still be performing, where's their new track? But, you know, the people who they relied upon were the same people who I was relying on for the last 3 years to make my track. And the minute they found out that I knew about publishing rights, and I actually have all my music copyrighted with the Library of Congress, they didn't want to touch my work because they couldn't steal it to run away with it for free and just make their own edits and copies and walk away with the money from it. And so the minute they realized I knew my rights, none of them wanted to work with me. They came up with every single excuse on the planet. So I had to physically sit there as of 2017 and said, I'm going to teach myself how to produce music. And so that's what I've been doing from February coming forward, you know. And so this is the first track that I created. As I said, I intend to release six more within the next few months coming up. And I'm just going to keep putting out music in that increment. Probably every six tracks, I'm going to put out a mini album. The reason why I like to do it that way, when you put out a full album all at once, people only listen to the three tracks that they like. They don't listen to the whole album. They only, you know, they just attract themselves to those three or those four, and that's it.
Yeah. This day and age, you don't need an album. With the way you can sell music digitally, it's better to just do one at a time in some senses.
Well, I realize that when you also do it one at a time, people don't take you seriously. It still makes you just look like a single wonder. But by doing six or 12 at a time, it makes people take you seriously as that's an artist. They've got a full album out. Or that's an artist. They've got six tracks out. But if you put out six at a time and all six tracks are good, it means people will be talking about those six tracks for a long time. My ultimate goal in the future is to become the Grace Jones of drag. Grace Jones is already Grace Jones in the straight world. I want to be the Grace Jones of the LGBT.
Well, you are from Jamaica.
Yes, I am.
Can you hula hoop for 6 minutes while you sing Slave to the Rhythm?
No, but Ornacia can go for 16 minutes straight if you put a dick in her mouth, so I'm good. While she's doing that above, I'll be still singing on the stage below.
So you need to send an Ornacia to Grace Jones.
You know what?
What?
I'll do that in like a month's time or so. Yeah. Right now she's dealing with a family issue, and if you know anything, she was extremely close to her mom.
Oh.
And her mother passed away on Monday. My deepest condolences, Mother Grace Jones, we love you. And I know as a Jamaican, it's gonna take a while to, you know, breathe again and come around.
Mm.
You know, her mother was like her core of everything.
Needs a little ornation in her life now.
Her mother had six kids, you know. It was like mother was doing it, you know.
Was her mother a seamstress? Was that the story? Like, because wasn't it like back in the day they said that like Grace Jones was wearing like all these designer outfits as a young woman because a lot of Jamaicans worked in the garment industry in New York?
Yes. Her mother at one point, I think, was also making a few stuff for her. And then she, you know, you got to remember, she's been working with fashion designers for years, but they then took her on and brought her over to Europe and gave her the world and gave her all the clothing and fashion that, you know, she needed. So, but yes, her mother has been one of her closest fans in terms of everything, you know. So she's in a moment of hurt right now. So
I'm prayers sorry to hear that.
To Grace Jones. This only happened on Monday. You know, this Monday passed. So she'll it'll take her some time to bounce back. But when she does, she'll be fierce and fabulous as she always is, you know. And so I want to be the Grace Jones of the drag scene in terms of, you know, to be that person. That's the reason why also you're going to hear my voice and you're going to go, Vivacious, your voice sounds too manly. Sweetie, I never said I was a woman. I'm an artist. I'm an entertainer. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear my voice in its true form so that if one day you're walking down the street and you hear somebody read and you turn around and go, that sound like that bitch Vivacious. Mm-hmm. And you hear my voice, you could run up to me and I'll turn around and hug you because I'm that type of person. You see, I won't put up no security guards in front of me and wave you off like
some. No, but you do have a fan that can kill someone, though.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to buy one more of those.
We miss our fan here. I wonder where it went.
Yeah, she stole it.
So ladies and gentlemen,
Vivacious.
At RuPaul's Drag Con NYC, Vivacious turned into a big old crook. She decided to steal the legendary fan from the Feast of Fun Guys, and she has not returned it yet.
You know, I'm going to go to the store and get a new one.
Even though there are rumors that the Feast of Fun Guys was supposed to go down to the Chinese area very close to them and pick it up.
I got to get a new one. I'll do that today. Vivacious, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. You're such a gem and a sweetheart, and I wish you luck with your new single.
Are you okay?
Ornacia.
Say it. Spit it. We're going to play the new single, at least most of it, right, at the end of the show. So if you're a really cheap person, you can just copy and paste all the different clips that we played in the show.
And make it whole.
You don't have to... you can rob Vivacious.
Like she robbed us. No, just kidding. You're very giving with your time, and I appreciate that. I also want to remind people to check out that Love and Luck podcast and tell them Feast of Fun sent you.
Tell them Feast of Fun says, hey, we got magic powers too when we rub our wands.
You'd be surprised what our Patronus is that comes out.
Oh, to be a fly on that wall, honey.
Coming soon to Only for Fans.
Oh, sorry. I was like, what does he want me to do? Oh, ring the bell. Yeah.
Well, you have a good weekend, doll, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thank you so very much, love.
You're welcome. Vivacious lives in NYC.
You can follow her on social media, Vivacious NYC, on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter, and all that good stuff.
Get her a new single and get yourself an Ornacia head shipping for Halloween. So if you want to go as Vivacious, Bivacious, you need two, or Trivacious, you need three heads.
Oh, that's right, because you can actually stack them all over your place.
You can stack heads on top of heads. You can put some on your shoulders. You can have one coming out of your butt.
How's your head?
I don't get very many complaints, but when I do, I just say, fuck it, you still owe me $50.
Best answer to that joke yet. Cooking with Drag Queens is about to burn in the oven, and that's not a good thing. Why? What's going on with Cooking with Drag Queens?
Well, right now we're 36% funded. We have 2 weeks to go. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's tricky, but it's like we can still get there. Last Cooking with Drag Queens, over 430 or 60 people supported it. Right now we're only at like 136. And so we just, if those people that supported in the past could just support it again, or if new people could step up, we can get this done because we have a lot of great things planned. We've got a lot of great guests lined up for the podcast, and we really want to try some new things. But we can't do it if it doesn't get funded.
We're at a crossroads. We need your help to save the show. And I know a lot of you guys in the past have supported Cooking with Drag Queens. Without your help back then, we couldn't have gotten this far. With your help, we managed to create 3 years of amazing episodes with artists who went on to become huge names. Trixie Mattel, Bob the Drag Queen, Kim Chi, Shea Coulee, The Vixen, even Lola Von Miramar and Dixie Lynn Cartwright are doing better and getting gigs because of these videos. So many of others have gone to have some amazing careers. They all credit the show with helping get the attention they needed at the time to get cast onto bigger projects. And this happened because you guys made a difference for all these struggling artists. You also inspired millions to cook and express themselves creatively. It's been a year of highs and lows. YouTube has implemented a new advertiser-friendly rules that aren't very LGBT-friendly and have decimated any ad revenue. Millions have watched the videos. Pennies have come in. Trump became president and unleashed a barrage of horrors, putting our community on the defensive. Right now, people feel helpless. They feel angry, but most notably, they are in a state of shock. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. And one of the consequences of kind of being under this pressure that this administration is that people kind of, they allow the arts to die. They become scared. They don't know what to do, and they become numb, and they become inactive.
On the surface, Cooking with Drag Queens is an oddball show, but it is so much more, right? The show explores the lives of amazing artists. It's about uniting the LGBT world together with stories, with videos, podcasts, and food. It's about inspiring others to grow and be the best people they can be. Are you prepared to let Cooking with Drag Queens burn in the oven to a crisp? Oh, no. I thought you were going to check it. I thought you were going to pledge.
Didn't you set the timer?
No, I thought you did.
Oh, I thought somebody else was going to come in and bake everything.
Well, maybe it's still good. Let me open up the oven. Oh, no, it's burnt. It's a hockey puck. That Thanksgiving turkey, that cake. Someone left Cooking Drag Queens in the rain. You don't want to be singing that song. You want to be lip syncing it.
Yeah.
Only, are you prepared to let the series come to an end because we couldn't raise this modest amount? Right now, all we need is about $12,000 to reach the goal. And that's just everybody doubling their pledge, or it's everybody who hasn't contributed yet, a very modest amount. I know we can count on you to be a hero and save the show. So go to cookingwithdragqueens.com. and pledge the same amount that you did last time, this time around.
And we'll be set.
We'll be set.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back next week.
We love you. We are here for you. We will be here and down. One way or another, I will get through this, but we rely on your support, and I thank you from the bottoms of my heart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Young, moving looks, walking talk, living on mystery. Boy Nation went down in history. That's